Geico drives it through.
We hit the high notes on the park. That's when we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, if he kicks. The super shop has done it again. And Motherwell are back in front.
It's not a choice anymore. You know, we're going to have to be much more effective in the transfer market. And everybody in the club knows that now.
Vukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh wow! Oh wow! Lucas Jukovic!
Thick or thin, no matter what happens, we're privileged to be part of this club.
And here they come again, Rachel stretched, it's Arlett again, Pushwood committing himself, and he scores! It's 3-0 to Motherwell!
Yeah, obviously, being on the podcast as everyone dreamed of.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the By The Men MFC podcast. Today we're down to three, one regular in the form of Jay, and also we welcome back Andrew Patterson. Andrew, welcome along, mate.
Thanks, guys. Nice to be back again.
Well, it's nice to be recording a podcast in the back of a win. A good 3-1 victory over Kilmarnock on Friday night, Jay. Made it a bit difficult for ourselves in the second half, but a vital 3 points, especially in the context of the weekend results.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I said last week that I thought we would win because we're kind of getting a little bit lucky with Kilmarnock, you know, in free fall, just when we need them to be. They're a poor, poor side. But I think we've been, you know, we've obviously been quite negative recently because of where we are and the results we've been getting. And it's easy to overlook that our home form is actually pretty decent. So it was a good performance. There'd seem to be a wee bit of fight as well, which is good. In particular, the third goal, Scott McDonald's reaction when he set up Ainsworth, running over to the stand. And, you know, you saw that there was genuine desire and belief there and, you know, taking great joy in the fact that we'd actually gave ourselves a fighting chance. So that was good to see. It's good to see that we're not just sinking like a stone, as it seemed to be the last couple of weeks. So it was a really good result. Good performance. It wasn't magnificent. I wouldn't, you know, subscribe to the same opinion as Barraclough that it was a magnificent performance. I think it kind of summed up where we are at the moment, at least at home. We created chances, scored goals, but we still look really dodgy at the back. I mean, the goal they got was really poor defending. And that's kind of where we are at the moment. We need to grind out results, create chances, and if we take the chances, then as long as we manage to score a couple of goals, then we're going to win games.
It's really, really quite tense. One thing I would agree with Barraclough is that we do appear to be in the ascendancy, if you can call it that, given that, you know, we're a couple of games undefeated, whereas, you know, Ross County I think we're the only team they've managed to take a point against after the split. Kelly are obviously, you know, on a run where they've lost 7 in a row. So we're going into next week's games on the back of a very slight bit of momentum, whereas the other two are going to be increasingly more nervous. We're in that kind of position we've nothing to lose, but, you know, we're expected to be in that playoff place. We've been expected to be in that playoff place following, you know, recent results. So we've got, in a sense, the least amount of pressure on, as you could argue, going into the next week's games, whereas the two of them are going to be really quite nervous in their fixtures, and hopefully it's a set of results that we'll be able to capitalise on.
Jay, for all we've been pretty negative in the last couple of weeks, we've actually been in a reasonable run of form. 4 wins, 1 draw and 2 defeats from our last 7 games. I think the sticking point there has been the performances at Thistle and the performance at Accies, which were well below par and unacceptable. But we've got a wee bit of momentum with us, and with Ross County suddenly experiencing a few negative results and Kilmarnock in freefall, we can go into these last 2 games with a bit of belief.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're right. The negativity that we've, you know, particularly when we're talking about games, you know, you're picking up on the fact that the performances haven't been good enough. You know, particularly at Fir Hill and New Douglas Park, there's a way to lose football matches, and the way they lost both those matches was scandalous. You know, it was bottle crashing stuff. So that's why there's the negativity there. You know, you don't mind so much going to watch. You know, none of us are Motherwell fans because we're glory hunters. I mean, you don't mind going and, well, you're content if you watch a Motherwell side lose, but they lose still battling away and putting in the effort. So I think the negativity is born out of the way that we lost those matches. But you're right, the form has been good. Particularly at home. So, you know, if we can get a result at St Mirren Park, which, you know, we're playing against a team who we've beaten three times this season, including an absolute doon, so there's no reason why we can't go to St Mirren Park on Saturday and look to, you know, expect to win the game. And then, that, you know, you set up the scenario where you go into the last game of the season at home, you know, our home form's been really good. So there's absolutely no reason whatsoever that we can't actually get ourselves out of the situation we're currently in. You know, particularly because results elsewhere have went our way. You know, we've been given an opportunity. If Kilmarnock and Ross County had, you know, got themselves out of it and sort of carried on results from earlier in the season, then we wouldn't have a chance. But we've been given a chance purely on the basis that County haven't, you know, as Andy said earlier, County haven't been particularly good after the split. Kilmarnock are in complete freefall. So the opportunity's there, and it's up to us if we want to take it or not.
Andy, is it the case that we should just be looking to take it one game at a time? As you've seen all the theories about Kilmarnock playing Ross County in the final day, but they've got their own fixtures next weekend that they need to take care of, and I don't think either sets of supporters will be particularly confident going into these games, regardless of the opposition, given the last couple of results have been a wee bit negative.
I think so. I think it's tempting to look and think, well, if this happens and that happens and the other thing happens, you know, we could be in this position or that position, you know. But when it boils down to it, we have to take care of ourselves first and foremost. When you break it down, we have an opportunity there on Saturday. We were going to play the team at the bottom of the table, a team that are relegated, a team that we've, in our last fixture, you know, we pumped considerably. So no matter how you kind of you take the point about that they've got, you know, freedom to play, that their fate has been sealed, you take those factors into account, but we have to go and win the game, and first and foremost we have to do what we need to do for ourselves, and then see what happens at the other two fixtures. Quite interesting this week that all of the games, I believe, are at the same time. They're all 3 o'clock on Saturday, so there's no one's going into it. You know, we don't have anybody playing on a Friday night, so there's no kind of preconceived kind of suggestions that we know what we need to do. It's simply a case of we're all there at the same time, playing at the same time. We need to get the job done effectively, and then come, you know, 5 o'clock on Saturday, we see where the land lies going into that you know, that final fixture.
I think that's it. If you look at St Mirren, I listened to the game on the radio yesterday while I was at work, and by all accounts, they sneaked a win. They were very much up against it. They were hitting County in the break. They got a late penalty and they won the game. That's fine, but I think you look at the three fixtures we've played against them. We didn't dominate the first two, far from it, but we've scored 7 against them in 3 games. We've not conceded yet. We go in strong favourites. They're already relegated. If we turn up, Jay, then we should get the job done, and we should have the confidence going into the game that we will get the job done.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're spot on when you say if we turn up. I mean, the opportunity is there. The opportunity is there to go get all 3 points and really set up what is like a cup final end of season, last game of the season. Going into the last game of the season with a real chance of finishing, you know, out with the playoff position. But if we turn up, that's the key point, because, you know, obviously don't want to start being negative again. But the reason that the negativity is there, as I said, is because of the way we capitulated at Fir Hill and New Douglas Park. It was the manner of the defeat. So, you know, we need to get rid of that. We need to, whatever the problem is, whatever the issues are with the mentality, we need to get over that for Saturday. And if we can go to St Mirren Park, we should be going there with confidence, because there's no reason not to. Not only have we just had a good result on Friday night, but we're going to play a team that, as I said, we've beaten all 3 times this season, including an absolute doon. So there's no reason not to be confident getting into the game, but we need to turn up, because, you know, there is still that question mark over the mentality. If we do turn up and we put in a good performance, then we should win the game. And then, yeah, then it's all to play for at the last day of the season.
On the mental front, one of the things that pleased me on Friday night was the way we reacted after we conceded the goal. I mean, how many times have you seen Motherwell have a two-goal lead, we concede, and then we just basically play however much is left of the half, camped in and around their own box? You know, you kind of go back to two games last season, you know, Inverness and kind of Ross County, you know, two or three of the last couple of home games we were hanging on there. You know, you remember the one where it like came off the post and rolled along the line, I think it was Inverness, and practically the last minute of the you know, the second last game of the season, you know, Aberdeen wouldn't have happened if we hadn't got lucky there. And there's been so many instances of that. So it was really pleasing for me the way that we seemed calm, we seemed composed. We didn't really allow Kilmarnock another chance after. You know, they scored, and that was pleasing. So whether there's been something has been learned, I don't know. But that I felt was quite significant, as that we remain composed and mentally we seem quite sure of ourselves. And that's the kind of attitude that we have to take into these last two games. You know, we can't panic if we do happen to concede. You know, we need to stay focused. We need to get the, you know, we're obviously, you're looking at Saturday as an opportunity. If we can go ahead early on, if we can get a couple of goals ahead, brilliant. You know, then try and chase it and try and get rid of the kind of goal difference advantage that the two above us have. But, you know, we have to stay focused if things don't go immediately our way at the start of the game. And hopefully we saw evidence of that the last half an hour on Friday night.
I think what was pivotal for me on Friday night as well was the bringing Ainsworth on. I think the game was crying out for a player like Ainsworth to stretch the play, and his impact was immediate. I think Kevin... there was a wee bit of pressure, but Kilmarnock were tiring, and I thought the treatment of Johnson at times was very, very rough. They had certainly identified him as a problem and just booted him any time that he got close. But I think that was a nice point for me as well, because I've been very critical of Barraclough's similar substitutions, and albeit it was the same kind of personnel that was coming on, but it was a timely substitution and it was a crucial one. And then, given that he got the winning goal, the goal that sealed the 3 points for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move on to kind of ingoings and outgoings at Fir Park, and a number of the under 20 or development squad players were told that they wouldn't be having their deals renewed at the end of their contracts. Max Curry, Morgan Neal, Danny McNulty, Craig McCall, Liam Anderson and Stephen Higgins will all leave the club. Jay, it's part and parcel of football, I suppose, that you'll get to a certain age and some guys will be perceived to not be up to the standard or not to be quite ready yet. I would say that the club possibly won't have had many regrets over the years at young players that have departed. Stephen Lawless, maybe. I can't really think of many more off the top of my head.
No, I think you're right. I think Lawless is the one that springs to mind. But other than that, I think, you know, it's part and parcel of the game. I think what's interesting is the fact that it's been done before the end of the season. It's usually something that either is quite, you know, sneaks under the radar or happens in the summer. So it kind of highlights that we're already focusing on, you know, who's staying, who's going for next season, which is interesting. But yeah, it's one of those things. There's not really any players there that you've mentioned that, you know, I would have said were particular standouts or you would expect to be pushing for a first team squad place. So, you know, it happens. But yeah, I think you're right. Lawless is the only one that springs to mind that I think there would be particular regrets over. And yeah, quite happy with, not happy, obviously. It's not nice to be getting rid of players, but you know, it happens and you need to just get on with it.
On the flip side, Andy, David Ferguson, Ben Hall, Chris Cadden and Dylan Macken have all been offered new deals. Ferguson, in particular, a name that stands out there. He came in earlier on in the season. I thought he did a very solid job.
Yeah, he got a wee bit of game time under McCall, and I think he played in the last one at St Mirren as well, if I remember rightly,
yeah,
Paisley.
Right.
believe he's been out on loan at Alloa, so that would have been something that you would have hoped would have been beneficial for him. In terms of, I'm not quite sure how much game time he's had with them, but the fact that they've been involved in games that have had some meaning, they've obviously had their relegation battles of their own this season, so to be involved in that can only be kind of beneficial for his development going forward. The other guys, I must be honest, I don't get to see very much at all, the under-20s. I had a wee bit of feedback from a mate that's an Ayr fan. He wasn't overly impressed with Morgan Neil whenever, you know, he was kind of down there in loan. You have to take the view that, you know, the kind of coaches, and when it comes to the under-20 guys, they're the, you know, the guys that are training with them, you know, week in, week out. They'll know in conjunction with the manager what kind of player that they're looking forward to progress first team wise. So, you know, hopefully they've made the correct choices, and that we managed to get a few, you know, that'll push on through into the kind of first team squad going forward. It's been stated by, you know, the kind of the new owner, and the method that they want to go forward is very much going to be, you know, youth development orientated. So let's hope these are the kind of the first steps in that programme, the changes that they've made, that, you know, these guys can go on in the longer term and make their contribution both in the teams, and even better if we manage to get a transfer fee for them further down the line.
Yeah, that kind of brings us on nicely to Lee Aaron's performance on Friday night, an excellent performance. That's one that I really believe we have to have tied up sooner rather than later. I do believe that he'll possibly be looking to see what league model will be in next season before committing to his future. But there's been whispers of Sheffield Wednesday, a few murmurs of Hearts as well. Jay, it was a fantastic performance from Erwin, a brilliant second goal he scored. I really want to keep a hold of. I'm not saying that he's a finished article, I'm not saying he's a spectacular footballer, but I think he could be a real asset going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, he's not the finished article, he's still a bit raw, there's still questions over his decision making at times, but he's a great player. I mean, I saw earlier this season, I think it was in Pye and Bovril, every so often there'd be Motherwell fans on the forum talking, you know, about how Lee Irwin was a poor footballer and would never make it, and you're reading this and you're thinking, you know, what planet are these people on? He's a really, really good player, and it's not just his ability, it's the fact that he actually has the potential to improve in all aspects of his game. I mean, he's got the potential to be one of those players that has everything. You know, he's tall enough that he can be decent in the air, he's got, you know, a bit of pace, a bit of skill with the ball at his feet, he can finish. You know, he's got the potential to be a really well-rounded football player. And he's definitely one of the, I would say, you know, between him and Dom Thomas, he's one of the, you know, the most promising players that we've had coming through for quite a few years. So I think, you know, getting him tied up on a long-term deal is you know, crucial. I think he's a really good player. And it just shows, you know, he's now integral to our first team performances. You know, he's there on merit, keeping somebody like John Sutton out of the team. I think he's formed a really good partnership with McDonald. I think the influence of McDonald, you can see that as well. I think that will benefit him. And I think that he definitely is a player that we should be trying to tie up, and I'd be very surprised if we're not. I think you're right in saying that he's probably waiting to see how things pan out, and that's, you know, that's entirely his right. It'd be slightly disappointing if he was to leave, but, you know, a player who is now enjoying a regular spell at the top flight in Scotland will want to stay there, or possibly try his luck down south. So, you know, hopefully if things go our way in the last two games of the season, then, you know, I think managing to get him signed on a long-term deal would be absolutely fantastic.
It's the kind of Les Hutchinson philosophy and approach, isn't it, Andy, when bringing on young players and selling them on for profit? I don't see why Lee Irwin wouldn't benefit from another year at Motherwell and then perhaps take his chance of playing in the Championship or League One in England.
You would like to think so. There's a... Again, it comes down to what division, you know, we're going to be playing in next season, as Jay says there. I don't imagine having made your kind of breakthrough season, having done pretty well, created a very good reputation for yourself, that you would really want to kind of take the step back, given that he's already lost a couple of seasons through injury, but going back to the first division. So I could understand why you would want to, you know, consider offers that were coming in from other clubs. you would hope he would stay though, that we can, you know, benefit from him and he can benefit from us. You know, it seems to be the, you know, the focus, as we know, is going to be a rearing our own to the best of our abilities, you know, and then giving them a platform to go on further down their career, hopefully that we benefit from a, you know, a fee at the end of that. So you would hope all those things considered would prove attractive to him. But the same token, as I say, I can understand why he would maybe want to move on, you know, if we did have to take the drop. But it's one of those ones where we're going to have to wait and see. But it does seem to be that the way that Muller were going as a club, that we are going to be a place where a talented young player can get the opportunity to get a number of games behind them at a young age, and it's going to give them the experience, the opportunity to develop the profile with the likes of, like Marvin Johnson has mentioned recently, about, you know, being live in telly however many times a season in comparison to what he would have been playing at had he been at Yeovil or whoever else it was that was interested. So there are a lot of advantages about small club as we are. There are a lot of advantages about, you know, learning your trade at Motherwell before you take the next step. But again, you've got, you know, you're going to have agents in there that are going to be inflating people's, you know, opinions of themselves, however good they actually are, and they're going to be making things attractive elsewhere. So there's a lot for a player to consider, but, you know, all things, you know, going our way, we would hope we'll be in the Premier League next season and Melbourne will be a part of a strike force in that league.
Yeah, it's one of these ones where the advantages of avoiding this playoff are never ending, and if we were to avoid the playoff, we could start sitting down with these players and getting their futures tied up sooner rather than later. If not, then you've got another week to ponder and maybe allow other teams to sneak in. When you consider Hearts, for example, finished playing last weekend and they'll have 3 weeks off by the time that we actually kick our final ball against Partick Thistle. It just maybe gives these teams a wee bit of head start.
I don't know so much about that. I think the fact that with them moved into their kind of last 6 months of their contract, they've had the opportunity to, you know, kind of approach players, I believe, since, you know, the start of the year. Erwin's form's really kind of kicked on, as you, you know, as Jay was saying, since the arrival of Scott McDonald, you know, has really kicked him on a step or two. And I'm fairly sure that, you know, they've been clubs as they are, but they had players on their radar anyway, and, you know, they've been well aware of Erwin's talents before that. Whether they've approached, you know, his agent, him, I don't know beforehand, but I'm not so sure the conclusion of the league campaign in the lower leagues a wee bit earlier than ours would make a great deal of difference, to be honest.
Jay, kind of looked a wee bit more towards Saturday's game. It really is it's the biggest game since the last one. One positive element was the return of Simon Ramsden the other night. I really thought that his influence made a big difference. Just a more steady force in the defence, and Stevie Hamill looked a lot more comfortable as well, as perhaps as a result of Ramsden's inclusion. He's a player that divides people. I've always thought he was quite rash, but I would certainly be one that I would like to see in the starting 11 come Saturday.
Well, I mean, Ramsden, I think Ramsden's a pretty decent enough football player. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get a bit of effort, a bit of experience. You know, he doesn't shy away. He's a good, hard football player. But, you know, Josh Law is probably one of our unsung heroes this season. He's probably one of our better players. So I think it's a wee bit harsh to, you know, favour somebody over Josh Law at right back. But if we do go with Ramsden on Saturday, then, you know, there's absolutely no issues with that whatsoever. I think Ramsden, you know, is a decent enough football player. He probably does shore up the defence somewhat. You know, Josh Law is, I don't know, I'm probably more of an attacking fullback, if you want to call him that. Whereas with Ramsden, you know, it's first and foremost, it's about defending, which obviously helps, because our defence has been really, really woeful this season. But, you know, between the two of them, Law or Ramsden at right back, I'm pretty happy. You know, I suppose it kind of shows just, you know, how poor a season it's been, the fact that, you know, that's your two better players are Simon Ramsden or Josh Law. But I think, you know, at right back, it's one of the positions where we're actually not too bad.
I was more expecting that Law in the stand and and Friday night might be struggling to be back. So I wasn't kind of ruling him out as much as I was.
Definitely. I mean, it's good that we have, you know, it is a position. You know, we make the joke about having a squad of right backs, but, you know, it's one of those positions that when you do lose a player like Josh Law, you actually have, you know, somebody like Simon Ramsden who can come in. And there's not too many positions in our squad you can really say that about. You know, you can really look and see somebody who is available. So it's one of the positions where if Law's injured, then, you know, Ramsden will come in and will do a job, and, you know, that's fine.
Was he actually injured? Because there was nothing in lead up to the game. I mean, it seemed quite odd at the time, you know, going in on Friday night and Law having done the kind of press conference. You know,
yeah, I'm assuming
likewise he was injured. The fact that he wasn't even on the bench, you know, it just seemed slightly strange at the time. You know, nothing was there. You know, was it tactical? Was it an injury?
I think Barraclough's generally quite coy when you see him asked about it. His team news and the press conferences, he never gives anything away, and I think that, well, I don't think they would have put Josh Law up to do the press as a guise that he was to hide his injury. I think he's quite an important player, but I don't think he's that important. But I would imagine it was just a late knock or an injury in the warm up or whatever, so. I don't know.
You make a good point, Nussbar, about being quite coy. I mean, that is something that I think I've noticed in recent weeks, is the fact that, you know, going back to the Ross County game, when Lang was obviously going to be missing, I think we all kind of expected that Fraser Kerr would have been in there, particularly because Mark O'Brien has been completely frozen out of the squad. I imagine if, Mark O'Brien would have been going through the last couple of months, just going through the motions for the under-20s, biding his time before he goes back down south. So I think we were all expecting Fraser Kerr to be in there, and then he wasn't even in the squad, so I presume that was an injury. No idea if it was, but I think you're right, it seems to be quite interesting over the last few weeks when there has been, you know, possible knocks to the likes of Fraser Kerr or Josh Law on Saturday, Friday night there. It seems to have been completely omitted, you know, a bit hush-hush, and there doesn't seem to be any, you know, any confirmation or much said about things like that.
I'm talking about the defence looking a bit more solid and, or certainly a bit more confident in Friday night. One position still a bit contentious, and that's the position of George Long in goal. It was a bad goal. He was all over the place for the Kilmarnock goal in Friday. He still just doesn't fill me with confidence, despite the fact that he seems like a big guy. He doesn't really come out and claim anything. Andy, what's your take on him, and do you feel he's a bit fortunate to have retained his place between the sticks?
I think when he's been brought in, I think it would have been possibly kind of, I don't know if counterproductive is the right phrase, but having got so far in there, making a change to the position, you're going back to the kind of constant changes that we seem to have all season, and rightly or wrongly, we reached a point where we seem to have like a kind of a settled defence for a spell, as we'd had all season, and you would have been going back to the point where you'd have had maybe like new players coming in, you know, like Straker at Lang, learning to work with a new keeper behind them, going into the kind of business end of the season. It may have worked, it may not have worked, but I'm kind of inclined to think that he's possibly, I don't see that there's much difference between Twardwick and Long, to be honest, but for kind of continuity that had been built up over the kind of weeks since he came in, I thought we were as well sticking with it for the remaining games of the season, to be honest. I'm not totally convinced with him either. For somebody, I think one of the things he said is he'd had maybe 70 or 80 games behind him, you know, for various teams, whether it was Sheffield United and whether he'd been out alone elsewhere, I'm not sure, before he came to Motherwell. And in many respects, you would say Twardwick looked the more kind of experienced of the two in a lot of games. And that's something that was kind of levelled his inexperience about whenever he was in between the posts, was that, you know, he kind of looked as if he was still very much learning, you know, things as he was kind of going on. So I've not been massively impressed with him, but for the continuity aspect of it, you know, go with it, you know, for the remaining games. It's not really a, you know, for me, Barraclough was never ever going to bring Twardwick in, and, you know, I think it's probably better in the, you know, for the, in terms of just keeping things as they were, building up the relationship between the defenders, you know, with him and goals between now, you know, as much as possible between now and the end of the season.
Jay, moving it into the stands, the atmosphere on Friday night, really, really flat. We commented on it a few times during the first half. It had the feel of a pre-season friendly at times. Even the kind of polite applause when we scored the second goal, you felt it was very, very strange.
Yeah, it was. You know, when you compare that to the sort of, you know, the 1,600 at Fir Hill and the bouncing end, the Motherwell end at New Douglas Park with the fantastic display, it's almost as though, I don't know, it's, you know, we've, you know, last week in particular, I was banging on about the poor mentality of the players and stuff like that, and it's almost as though some of that has kind of transferred into the stands. It was a really strange atmosphere. There was no real, I don't know whether the fans have kind of accepted or believe that we're going to finish 11th and there's not really any point anymore, but you had the really strange scenario where the entire ground was silent for the majority of the game, apart from, you know, the so-called Amber Army. You know, to use the phrase coined by Jack Patterson when he was on, they are essentially, you know, a couple of kids making a din, but they did it really well on Friday night, and it was, you know, the atmosphere was largely what you could call an atmosphere on Friday night. It was largely down to, you know, seven or eight kids in the David Cooper stand.
You do wonder, there was quite a lot of frustration, and maybe not so much the message boards, but I've seen a few of the guys, you know, commenting about those that made the effort to do the display in Hamilton, that they were, a lot of them are not at all happy in terms of the, you know, the kind of response that they got from players in the park, and it was almost as if I kind of got the feel for the Ross County game. It was like, well, if you're not going to bother, why should we kind of bother?
Yeah,
that's the kind of impression I kind of picked up. And Barraclough has made the point on a few occasions that it's not about the players responding to the atmosphere created by the fans. It should be the fans, you know, are like by what they're seeing produced by the players. So perhaps it's an element of we've done our bit time and time again. Over you guys, you do yours.
No, I completely agree with that. I think one thing that really annoys me is when folk at the club come out and sort of do the whole, you know, the sort of copy and paste statements that you get around this time every season when there's something to play for. You know, the idea that, you know, these are our biggest games of the season, we need the fans to turn out and get behind the players. Then you're reading it and you're thinking, what are you talking about? I mean, Motherwell's been, you know, if you take our away support in particular, we've been one of the most vocally supported sides in the SPL for the last few years, all down to, you know, the Motherwell boys. The atmosphere both home and away has been fantastic in the Motherwell end. And you're reading this stuff from folk at the club, you know, the chairman and all that kind of stuff, you know, the idea that the fans now need to get behind the players, and you're wondering, you know, what war do they want? You know, between
the last year
for Hill and in the massive massive display at New Douglas Park. It kind of, it's a bit galling when you're reading that kind of chat, as though the fans have been non-existent up until now. So I completely agree. It must, that's what I was saying earlier. I think maybe the mentality kind of has transferred from on the park to off the park. And you're completely right. I mean, how often do you go to a game and the atmosphere's quite quiet and then something, you know, happens on the park to spark it into life? I mean, you know, it's that kind of double-edged sword. You're going to these couple of games that we really need something out of, and you want there to be a really good atmosphere to hopefully spur the players on. But you're right, it's a two-way sort of deal. You need to be seeing something on the park to kind of justify you putting in the effort if you're going to go along and support the side.
And no way bashing the fact that it is down, to coin Les Hutchinson's phrase, it's down to you guys, but it really has been down to the group of 60, 70 guys at the front of these stand, creating an atmosphere for the whole stadium. And when these guys are disorientated or are disengaged, then the atmosphere at the whole ground suffers. I just think, going into the last two games, please get back on board, because the players do benefit from that support. There is no doubt. I'm not going along with this theory, oh, we're taking a big support to Aki's at Fir Hill, the players won't turn up. We've touched on the reasons why we believe that, that we lost these games, and it, it came down to simply the mentality was appalling. So for these last two games, we'll have a big support. It's got to be as noisy as possible, or as we're allowed at St Mirren without spending a night in the cells or whatnot. But it's, it really is. It's a crucial game, and we need the support of the fans back.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean by it being a double-edged sword. I mean, you're right, the Motherwell boys have been absolutely fantastic. I mean, but again, particularly away days, I think if you go after any away game, any away Motherwell game, if you go into Pie and Bovril and read the match thread, there is always opposition fans commenting on how good the Motherwell support is, without fail, every single away game. And even when they come to Firth Park, there's mentions of the Motherwell support. The Motherwell boys have been absolutely fantastic, and you know, I completely agree with what Andy was saying. It does get to a point where you can imagine that, you know, if you're putting in that effort and you're going to the, you know, the time of not just organising,
but the display. I mean, it's all right for us. We turn up, hold up a bit of paper, but the amount of effort that goes into that, you know, having to turn up early, planning it all out, putting all the paper out, etc. There's a lot of efforts went into that, and if you're doing something like that and then watching the team just completely bottle it. And, you know, I can understand why that kind of, well, if you're not going to do it, why should we mentality creeps in. And that's what I mean by it being a double-edged sword. I completely understand why the atmosphere has been quite flat, you know, the last two home games. But you're right. I mean, if we are going to go into these last two games and we're going to finish higher than 11th, then it needs to be, you know, a case of the fans getting behind the players as well.
And if there's no atmosphere, Jay, will you bring a drum to the last game?
No.
Guys, I think that's basically all we've got time for this week. Andy, thanks very much.
Oh, a pleasure to be back.
Buster, yeah, thanks very much for your efforts
again.
Jay, we'll be back with Matt Johnson next Monday.
Yeah, and hopefully I won't be quite as hungover as I am right now.
Well, we'll give you an extra 24 hours recuperation time for that. You've been listening to By the Minute MFC podcast. As I say, we'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
For me, my love, 'cause I